As has already been mentioned, Pastor Scott said we're beginning a new series that will take us as long as it takes us. How's that? We don't have anything planned after it, so who knows? We'll go as long as we need to. If you noticed on your way in, the passage that we're going to be looking at is Psalm 23, and what we're going to call it is Safe and Sound. Have any of you ever gone through an experience in life that while you were going through it, you didn't know if you're going to make it or not? And then when you get there, when you arrive at wherever there is, we often say, well, we made it safe and sound, right? Well, that's kind of how the lenses through which I would like us to look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is probably, without a doubt, the best known passage of Scripture by people in general. In fact, there's probably only one other verse that is maybe better known than Psalm 23, and that's John 3:16. Psalm 23, many of you have probably heard it read at funerals. Although Psalm 23 has nothing to do with the funeral. Psalm 23 has been repeated by soldiers on the battlefield. It has been spoken by politicians at public addresses. It was discovered by the Gideons that when they go to check on Bibles in hotels or motels, the most bookmarked passage of Scripture is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 has been quoted in films, it's been spoken on Broadway, and sung by many artists. There was a preacher in the 1800s by the name of Henry Ward Beecher who described Psalm 23 as the nightingale of psalms. He said this about it. He said, it's small and of a homely feather. I want to show you a picture of what a nightingale looks like. It's a bird. It's a little bird. It's a tiny bird. And to look at the bird, if you Google it and look at different pictures of the nightingale, there's nothing that would draw your attention to this bird, like a peacock or a brightly colored feather-free creature. There's nothing about this that would draw your attention to it. And so Henry Ward Beecher said, it is small and of a homely feather, singing shyly out of obscurity. In other words, what he's saying is when you look at Psalm 23, it's only six verses. It's really small. And on the surface, there is nothing that would attract your attention to it. It's not like I was thinking of Psalm 150 where the psalmist says, shout to the Lord and, declare his praises on all the different instruments that there are. Psalm 23 is not quite like that. But then Henry Ward Beecher goes on to say, but oh, how it fills the air with melodious joy greater than the heart can conceive. I want you to hear what a nightingale sounds like. Maybe some of you have actually heard that call out in the wilderness. I actually found out that, has anybody ever had one of those, I don't know what they call them exactly, but they're those long things that you listen to get relaxed? Okay, one of the ones that they have is of this particular bird. So you can go and for 3 hours listen to the tweets of the nightingale. We're not going to do that this morning. David actually said to me, or no, Henry, or somebody said to me on the way in, I was telling them about that, and they said, well, maybe you could just put that on. That would be the best medicine for all of us, right? So Psalm 23 is called the Shepherd's Psalm. And it's called that. It's like a double entendre. It means it in a couple different ways. The first way it means it is that it was written by David. And for those of you who don't know, before David was ever a famous king, he was a shepherd boy. In fact, we're given the story in Samuel where Saul has been rejected as king, and Samuel's kind of given the task to point and anoint the next king of Israel. And God tells him to go to a man by the name of Jesse of Bethlehem. So Samuel makes his way to this guy by the name of Jesse, and he said, I'm going to choose one of his sons to be the next king of Israel. So Samuel goes there, and Jesse trots out 7 of his sons. And as each one passes before Samuel, he's, nope, not him, nope, not him, nope, not him. Even though some of those look like, on the outside, that they maybe should have been or could have been king, Samuel said, no, it's none of them. And he said to Jesse, he said, is this all the sons that you have? And Jesse says, well, I've got one. And listen to what he says. Listen how he says it. He says, there is still the youngest, but he is tending the sheep. So anyways, they go out and get David, who was tending the sheep, bring him in, pass him before Samuel. And Samuel said, yep, he's the one. He's the one that God is going to anoint to be the next, leader, king of Israel. So when we read about Psalm 23 being the shepherd's psalm, we can read about it in light of it was a shepherd by vocation, by, can I say, by birth, by a young child who learned what it meant to be a shepherd before ever becoming king. And so it can be called the shepherd's song. In fact, it goes on to say that after David was anointed king of Israel, he didn't immediately step into that role of leadership. It says there that he went back and forth from serving in Saul's, tending to some things for Saul, but he also went back home to tend to the sheep for Jesse. But on one particular occasion, Jesse says to David, his son, he said, I want you to take some supplies to your brothers who were then serving for Saul in his army. And so it goes on to say this in chapter 17. Early in the morning, David left the flock with the shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. What I thought interesting about that is David understood that the sheep could not be without a shepherd. And in his absence, he appointed someone else to watch over the sheep. He left the flock with a shepherd and set out to do as his father had directed him. When he got to the front of the lines of the battle, the first thing he encountered was this guy by the name of Goliath, who was intimidating the armies of Saul. And after observing the situation for a while, he said, I want to be the one to go out and fight Saul. And of course, everybody's saying, well, what are you talking about? You're a runt. You're a shepherd boy. You're not to be the one to go out and handle this situation. And David gives as his credentials. Listen to what he said when others were saying it can't be done. Listen to what David said. He says, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when the lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. He references his ability to do battle against Goliath. He gave us his credentials, his ability to shepherd well the sheep that were under his care. David writes Psalm 23 from knowing the heart of a shepherd. He didn't write Psalm 23 from what he learned being the manager at 7-Eleven or from working in a carpenter shop. He wrote Psalm 23 knowing all too well the role that a shepherd entails. And so he begins verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can you say that with me this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. This is the theme of Psalm 23. It is a psalm about trust and confidence. And even though David knew what it meant to be a shepherd, David at this moment in writing this particular psalm is writing from the viewpoint of a sheep. He's writing from the viewpoint of God being the shepherd. There's where the double entendre comes in. The shepherd's psalm is a shepherd's psalm first because it was written by a shepherd, but it also is a shepherd's psalm because God is painted, the picture is painted for us of God being our shepherd. That means we're the sheep. Did you know that over 200 times in the Bible, we as humanity are referred to as sheep? 200 times. Sometimes it's in reference to humanity in general, but most often it's in reference to those who find themselves directly under God's care. There are other metaphor references of animals that are used in the Bible. For instance, there are a couple of times where our lives are likened to that of a deer. In the Psalms, it says that the deer, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for God. It says the Lord makes our feet steady like a deer's feet in high places. There is also a reference in Scripture to us being likened to eagles. It says those who wait on God will soar on wings like eagles. There is a reference to us being like a serpent or a dove. Jesus said, "Be wise as serpents and harmless of doves." So the animal kingdom many times gets used as a reference point or a metaphor for how it is we are. But by far the most used reference or metaphor for us in the animal kingdom is that of a sheep. Now, why would God choose sheep to liken us to? Well, you may not want to hear this morning, but there's a good reason, all right? Let's say this. Let's say, before I put it in and plug it up there for you, let's just say this. Sheep aren't necessarily the brightest animal out there. We'll say it this way. They're dense. I was thinking about it. You know, how many of you ever watched, I think it just started again this past week. Anybody ever watch America's Got Talent? Anybody? Anybody? Wow, their ratings must be really down. We've seen on there, Jody and I, we watch it occasionally. We've seen dogs do all kinds of crazy things, right? They're on there. So. But we have never, ever, to my knowledge, you are not going to find sheep in the top 10 finalists of America's Got Talent. Do you know why? Because it's hard to teach sheep to do tricks. That's a tongue twister right there. Sheep have a way of getting themselves in a pickle and then turning around and doing the same thing over again. It's like they learn a lesson but never get the lesson, right? They are prone, the Bible tells us this, they are prone to stray and wander. And many times that leads to a not so good outcome. All right, so I think we're all here. I'm not trying to pick on sheep this morning. I'm not trying to leave you with the idea that somehow they are the most unintelligent animal ever. I'm just saying to us this morning, they're a little slow, right? And I think it's fair to say that you and I are a little slow. Hello? We're just a little slow, right? We'll get it, but it takes us a while. The second characteristic of sheep is that they're dirty. Living in a sheep pen or out on the range with the dust and dirt causes sheep to become dirty. And if you've ever noticed something about sheep, unlike a dog or a cat, they don't have the ability to clean themselves. Like a cat. You ever notice a cat? They're always taking care of themselves. Mike, you raised some sheep. Did you ever see sheep like licking themselves, right? A sheep is, one of the things that sheep are known for is that they need someone else to wash them. How much that is like us. We need someone to deal with our dirtiness. Another characteristic of sheep is that they're demanding and difficult. Did you ever watch a newborn lamb go at its mother's milk? Google it sometime, or go to a sheep farm and watch it in person. If you ever watched a little newborn, their tails start flickering like this. They're like... Meanwhile, they've got their little mouths like, they're just on that. They're on that. They're on that udder trying to get it. And from the moment they're born, it's like they demand, they want what they want, right? And when they get it, they're happy and their tails are just, woohoo, yeah, baby, yeah. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, that's really good. Then as they grow a little bit older, I had to watch sheep one time for the Whippies. This is years ago when they were gone. I guess they looked at me and said, well, he's a pastor. He ought to be able to watch sheep, right? So Mike told me what to do. He says, here's what you do. And, you do this and you do that, so on and so on. So I drive up the road. We lived at church house here at the time. I go up there and I get up there and there's the sheep. The sheep are all out there. And first of all, I'm not a big animal person, right? The kind of animals I like are dead. They're on the plate, on the table, right in front of you, and you eat them. So, I'm scared to death of horses. There's just a lot of things I don't like about animals. So anyways, so I'm thinking, I can do this. I can really do this. So he had told me about, I think his name was Abraham. His name was Abraham. I will never forget Abraham as long as I live. So I get in there and one of the things I found out real quick is that you don't say, here, sheepy, sheepy, you don't do that. And they don't seem to like to move. Like, you're trying to get them to move in different ways and they're just kind of like, they're doing their own thing. They are just doing what they're born to do, right? Their own thing. But there was this one sheep, his name was Abraham, and Mike says, you got to be careful about Abraham. Don't turn your back on Abraham. Well, remember, I'm going to go back to point one just for a second. Remember how I said we're a little bit dense, right? So I'm thinking, how much problem can a sheep be, right? I mean, it's a sheep, whatever. So I hop in the pen to do the thing there. And it was after I got in the pen, I remembered about Abraham. So I look over and there he is. I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, right? And he's got that steely eye look, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're in my pen with my ladies. And I'm like, I'm trying to keep an eye on him. Well, I mean, I blinked, and he was head down, and he's coming. He's coming. Here he comes. And I tried, it was probably not a fence exactly like this, but I tried to get out, right? I'm trying to make my way out to get out, and survive. And my hand was still on the gate or the fence or whatever, and he rammed my hand. I was never the same. I'm still not the same. This hand, it's like it's got tattoo of Abraham on it right there. Sheep are demanding and difficult. They're stubborn. And the other characteristic I leave you with is defenseless. Jesus said on a couple different occasions, he said to his disciples, and this should tell you everything. He said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. On another occasion, he said, it says he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I think the case can be made that there's some things about us that are dense in a sense. There's some things that are dirty. We need clean. I think that we can definitely say in our own way, we're demanding and difficult, but we need a shepherd because we're defenseless. Now, I know we have the Second Amendment in America. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we need a shepherd to watch over us. We need a shepherd to take care of us. And ultimately, we need a shepherd to drive away those things that would harm us. The real things that would harm us. Not so much our body, but our soul. Jesus said, don't worry about those who can kill your body. What you need to be concerned about is the one who could wreck your soul. We need a shepherd. We are like sheep, and we need a shepherd. David said this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's who my shepherd is. It's the Lord. Now, the name that he used here is the name Yahweh. You can go and look at this yourself if you'd like. And the name Yahweh means the one who exists and causes existence. Now, this is important for you to understand. At this time in the Bible, there were several names for God. The generic name for God was Elohim. That would be like me asking somebody, do you believe in God? And they say, yes, I believe in God. That would be like the name Elohim. It's a generic name for a deity, right? But this name Yahweh was the name God specifically asked those who would come into relationship with him would be known by. Yahweh. That would be like, let me example that for you. That would be like me saying, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Well, what is your God's name? That would be like us saying Jesus Christ, right? So this would be like the Old Testament version of us in the New Testament saying Jesus Christ. Yahweh was David's shepherd, and it was personal for him. Listen to what he said. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. You know how other people relate with God, how other people see God, how they line their lives up with him. All I can tell you is it was personal for David. He is my shepherd. This relationship with God only becomes truly meaningful when it becomes truly personal. You know, most people in America will say they believe in God. But whether it's a personal experience, whether it's a personal relationship, maybe not so much. And then finally, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? What is the notion of having a shepherd all about? Shepherding has to do with things like this. It has to do with directing, managing, owning. It's in that realm. Jesus said, this is what he said. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In the case of Jesus Christ, he literally laid down his life, literally laid down his life for the sheep. The Bible tells us that as sheep, we have been bought and paid for. This is what Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says. We're all like sheep and we've gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's at the cross Christ demonstrated his deep desire to have people come under his benevolent care, under his direction, under his mannership, under his ownership. There's a book, maybe some of you have read before. I read it years ago, and I just got it out and read it again here in the last few months. It's a book written by W. Philip Keller, and it's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. I want to read to you just a couple paragraphs here from this book. This Keller guy was a shepherd. Literally, he was a shepherd by vocation. And he said this, at one point he says, the day I bought my first 30 ewes, my neighbor and I sat on the dusty corral rails that enclosed the sheep pens and admired the choice. They were strong, well-bred ewes that had become mine. Turning to me, he handed me a large, sharp killing knife and remarked tersely, well, Philip, they're yours. Now you'll have to put your mark on them. I knew exactly what he meant. Each shepherd has his own distinct earmark, which he cuts into one of the ears of his sheep. In this way, even at a distance, it's easy to determine whom the sheep belongs to. You see, Jesus Christ bought and paid for us to be his sheep. But the only way we truly become his sheep is when we're willing to say, you are my shepherd. It's only when we are willing to be marked as his. It's only when we're willing to have his mark placed upon our life in such a way that even at a distance, people know we belong to him. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, what we are really saying is that I am willing to be known as his. I am willing to come underneath his direct care, his management, his ownership, and be marked as his. You might say it this way. We've gladly hung out a sign that says, under new management. We are saying that instead of doing life on our own and living in a whimsical way, when we say the Lord is my shepherd, I'm saying that I am submitting to coming under his care and enjoying the more productive, satisfying adventure of being guided by him. It is to be noted that just saying that verse does not mean he is your shepherd. Let me say that again. Just saying the Lord is my shepherd does not mean he is your shepherd. The tragic truth is this. Many people think that just saying, the Lord is my shepherd, will mean that he will take care of them. The real truth is simply this. For the Lord to truly be my shepherd or your shepherd, means that we have to exchange our fickle, foolish, stubborn ways of living for His direction and management of our lives. It is not enough just to say it. We have to be willing to live every day under His authority. It is really quiet in here. When we were working on this stuff, I knew this was going to happen. In Matthew chapter 6, sit tight. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said clearly, you cannot serve multiple masters. It's impossible. Here's what's interesting. The Greek word for master or masters is the word kerygmos. Most times it is translated in the New Testament as Lord. It is the Greek version of the name Yahweh. David said, Yahweh, Master, is my shepherd. Everyone is shepherded by someone or something. Let me say that again. Everyone, that means everyone, is shepherded by someone or something. People sometimes are their own shepherd. In other words, they are not going to allow anyone to tell them what to do. People are governed or shepherded by other people. They live their lives solely to please someone else. People are governed or shepherded by their emotions. People are certainly governed or shepherded by material matters like fame or fortune. In other words, what I'm saying is the thing that directs them, the thing that governs them, the thing that manages them, the thing that has authority over their lives are things and people other than God. Now, how do you know that? How do you know what is shepherding you? How do you know what's governing you? What's overseeing you? What has authority in your life? Well, just pay attention to what you do in life. If you know this is the way in which God would have you go, and you do something other than that, that means you are being like a sheep, right? You are doing what you have chosen to do, rather than allowing the Lord to be your shepherd. This is a most serious and sobering thought. It's such a nice psalm, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. But what David is really saying is, it is God who governs my life. It is God who has authority over me. I live my life being directed by what God tells me to do. I'm under His management and under His care. This is the theme of Psalm 23. In the weeks to come, we're going to find out all of the wonderful benefits of being under God's management and under His care. But I wanted to start out because I just don't want us to think, well, you know, of course He's my shepherd. What I want to caution us to think about, because it's a sobering thought, is, am I allowing God to be my shepherd? It's not enough just to quote the verse, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to be careful what I'm about to say, but I feel like I need to say it. I have been at funerals. Listen, I have been at funerals where this passage is being read about somebody who has just passed. That if we were to look for evidence of that, we would find none. That is the truth. There would be no tangible evidence that God was actually their shepherd. But yet we read the verse hoping that if we read it, it would make it true. That's not how it works. We can look at the life of David and see where he definitely, there were times he made choices that weren't of God's liking or making. But if you look at David's life on the whole, he let God direct the affairs of his life. He lived in such a way where he sought the heart of God on decisions to be made, on choices to be made. God, what do you want me to do? Which way am I supposed to go here? That's why he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. He sought the counsel of God. He looked to line his heart up with God's heart and walk in that. I think it's good for us to ask ourselves these questions periodically. Do I really belong to him? Have I chosen, have I made the conscious personal choice to come underneath his ownership and care? Do I, in the way I go about living, do I willingly respond to his authority and oversight? Do I find purpose and fulfillment and contentment in being one of his sheep? The Lord, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. My heart is that each one of us could say that personally and truly. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm wondering if you'd just bow your head and close your eyes here this morning. Just kind of focus in for just a minute. God has done everything possible in order for us to be called one of his sheep. At one point in all of our lives, we belong to somebody else. But God went way out of his way. He literally spent every ounce of his blood in order to purchase us as one of his sheep. As he said himself, I am the good shepherd, and a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's done everything to purchase us. He's done everything. He's moved things out of the way so that we can come and be a part of his sheep pen, a part of his flock. But the fact of the matter is, none of that happens unless we kind of raise our hoof, if you will. We raise our hoof and say, I want to be managed by you. I want to be directed by you. I want to be a part of your flock, a part of your sheep pen. Maybe you're here this morning and you know as you sit here right now that for you to say the Lord is my shepherd is not accurate. I want to invite you and encourage you. I'm telling you, you need a shepherd. You need, all of us, We need a shepherd. And from my experience, and I'm sure many of us in this room, the other things in this life and in this world that try to shepherd us, it never seems to end well. We always come out short. But I can tell you, as one who has endeavored to allow God to be his shepherd, life becomes a whole lot more safe. It becomes a whole lot more sound when I'm truly allowing him to be my shepherd. That doesn't mean there aren't some foxes in the bushes and there aren't some things out there trying to harass us and hinder us and even kill us. But I'm telling you, with him on the job, life goes a whole lot better. So maybe you're here this morning and you've never chosen to be purchased by him. I want to invite you to do that today. I want to invite you to sign up to be a part of his flock, to have him put a mark on your life for you to be able to say, I belong to the Lord. He is my shepherd. It's as simple as you just simply saying, God, I've tried to manage this thing on my own. I've tried to, there's been times other stuff has managed me, but today I'm saying, I want you to be the shepherd of my life. I accept what you've done. I accept the price that you have paid for me to be yours. I invite you to invite him into your life, to name him as your Lord, your Savior. But maybe you're here this morning and that's a step you took, you know, a long time ago. But as you kind of go through the pages of current life, you know, maybe some other things have stepped in and started directing your heart, directing your affairs more than the Lord. It's here's the really cool thing. You can be, as a sheep of his, you can be away from his direct oversight. And the Bible tells us that we have such a great shepherd that he's always out there looking for us to try to get us back, bring us back to the fold. Well, today may be a day where you need to say, well, I gotta get more in closer contact with the shepherd. I've been out there too far on the fringes. Today would be a good day as we start this series and we start talking about what it means for the Lord to be our shepherd. Today would be a great place to get that, a great day to get that straightened out again. Lord, we know you've likened us to sheep, but also you've likened yourself to a shepherd. And what to me is like utterly amazing is that you have any interest at all in overseeing this bunch, this lot called humanity. God, if I were you and I was looking at what we're like and, you know, the stubbornness and all that stuff going on, if I were you, I'd run the other way. But fortunately, you are not like us. Lord, this morning we're saying to you, yes, we're smart in some ways, but in other ways, wow, you're incredibly patient with us. Lord, we know we need somebody to wash us. Our minds, we walk through this life and our minds just get polluted with all kinds of things. We need you. We need you as our good shepherd to wash us. Frequently and often. This morning we're saying, we know we can be difficult at times, but this morning we're saying afresh, Lord, we humbly submit to you. And Lord, we know we need someone to protect us. A lot of stuff going on out there, a lot of stuff going on in here. We need your rod and your staff at work in our lives. So we're inviting you afresh this morning. As David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Could we just say that together in closing? The Lord is my shepherd. Amen.